God, we do. We just cut away everything that's unnecessary right now, and distractions and thought. And we just lay them before you with our hands open. We choose to receive the word with gladness and joy. We take hold of all that your presence offers. Your word is your very presence. We thank you, God, that in your presence is fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore, that there is so much in this moment for you to that you're offering us that we're taking hold of. We choose to take hold of it by faith. Thank you, Lord, for the anointing on the word that's fresh and life-giving and full. I ask, Lord, that you would speak. In Jesus' name, amen.
This morning, I'm going to talk about holiness. Are you ready? Holiness. Holiness is actually good news. It really is. Holy is the very nature of God. It's part of his name, right? And holiness is not a recommendation. It's not that at all. Holiness is actually a command from God. Be ye holy as I am holy. That's what he says in his word. And God has been calling mankind to holiness since the beginning of time. Always. He's been calling us. And so in this last year, in my quiet time, God has been speaking to me, and I think I've been a little slow on the response, but he's been speaking to me about holiness. And in March, he spoke to me, and he said, Ruth, I want you to live before me in holiness. Okay? And I was like, okay, you know, you try to grasp that, and you say yes, and you want to walk in that. And then, again, he came to me in September, and he spoke to me, and he said, I've called you to holiness. And I don't know if it just went like this over my head or what, but he'd been calling me, speaking to me, drawing me into an understanding that I apparently wasn't grasping. And then in December, he spoke to me again. And he said, Ruth, I'm doing something new on the earth. I'm going to be moving in a new way. And I'm going to break out of the usual places people find me, and I'm not going to be constricted by walls, which he is not. And he told me, Ruth, the church is alive and well on the earth. Because sometimes we look and we say, it's not. And he said, the church is alive and well. And he said to me, and I'm opening a new dimension to her. So when that got my attention, he's opening a new dimension to us. And he said, it's available to those who seek me. Like we have an opportunity to respond to what he's saying. To those who seek me. And then he says this. He said, I am releasing over my church a wave of holiness that has never been seen or experienced before. And I truly believe that we've been crying out for revival, but we've been asking God to move in our nation, move in our church, move in our families, move in our lives. And God is saying, hey, I'm going to, and I'm going to move in a big way, and I'm going to move through holiness. And then I knew what he was asking from me. And I understood the depth of his heart of where we're headed and what he's wanting to do. And so I truly believe that holiness is the next step. It's the thing I've been waiting to hear from the Lord. What is it you're wanting? We talked last February about a place of healing. That's what God had called us to. And we met and we've done some different things. And I've been, Lord, what You said you would show me how to move. You told me you would show me what steps to take. And this is what he's saying. He said, it's going to come through holiness. And it's what he wants to do in us that prepares us and actually opens the avenue and the ability for his spirit to move in the way that he wants to move. And so what we need to do, all of us, is to increase our pursuit of holiness. It's actually critical. Really, really important. I actually believe it will hasten what God wants to do here at Lighthouse Church. And I just want you to know something. I haven't laid down what he's spoken to me. I haven't even forgotten it. I'm always before the Lord saying, God, what is it that you're doing? What are you wanting? Where are you taking us? What is it that you want to do? And I'm asking you to journey with me towards holiness. Towards a fuller understanding of what it is and what the word says about it. Because I truly believe that holiness is actually a doorway to intimacy with God. And all of us want that. To encounter him, to know him, to hear him, to rest in him. Does that make you eager at all? You know, when you use the word holiness, maybe not for this group, I don't know, but it can evoke a lot of emotions. Because there have been holiness movements in the United States, in the world actually. There's been movements, and what they have been often is a whole bunch of rules and regulations. You got to do this, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, do this, don't do that. And this morning, I want to tell you that that is not what we're talking about today. That's not where we're going. That's not what's on his heart. That isn't anything to do with where we're headed. We are actually talking about becoming so into him, seeing him, walking into his presence, that it shifts who we are, and who he is changes us. That's really what holiness is about. Most people say, well, the definition of holiness is to be set apart. The problem with that definition is that sometimes that makes us think that God is set apart from us, way up high, sitting up in the heavens, and we can't reach him, we can't communicate with him, we can't connect with him, because he's set apart. He's so holy, so that we can't participate with him. And so I don't want to use that definition this morning of being set apart. I want to look at holiness being about knowing him intimately. So intimately that we look like him. That you look in the mirror and you say, oh, there you are, Jesus. You look at your friends and you see Jesus. You look at your neighborhood and you see Jesus. That you actually smell like him. Do you ever hug somebody that has great cologne on? You hug them and you walk away and go, well, that's great for you, but not for me. You can take on scents of people, right? And God is wanting us to take on his scent, his very scent. There's a quote by a man named Jerry Bridges, and he says this: many Christians have what we might call a cultural holiness. They adapt to the character and behavior patterns of Christians around them. But God has not called us to be like those around us. He actually has called us to be like himself. And holiness is nothing less than the conformity to the character of God. That's what it is. To be like him. So, what God is taking us into, what he's going to be revealing to us, is not rules and regulations. He's actually taking us into holiness, which is the doorway to intimacy. That's where he's taking us. I read a quote, and I've been thinking a lot about it. Do you ever read one where you go, well, And I want to tell you, it was by C.S. Lewis. You all know C.S. Lewis, right? He said this. Holiness would transform the world. How little people know who think that holiness is dull. When one meets the real thing, it's irresistible. Do you find holiness irresistible? It's an interesting thought, isn't it? It's a challenging thought. Really challenging. So there's some things you need to understand when we talk about holiness. There's actually two kinds of holiness, okay? The first one is positional holiness, okay? Positional. And what that is that it's who you are because of what Christ did for you. It says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, it says, just as he chose us before the foundations of the world, that what? That we should be holy and blameless, without blame, before him in love. You see, positional holiness is who you are because of Jesus and his death on the cross. It's a done deal. It's a done deal the moment you say, Jesus, come into my life. I want you to be Lord of my life. I choose you to be my Lord and Savior. It becomes accomplished for you. Positionally, you are holy. Absolute truth. And that word for being positionally holy is called justification. It's a big word, and that's what it means, that he said, this is the way it is. Before you even were born, I chose you. And this is what I'm doing in your life. It's called justification. And then there's a different holiness, and it's called behavioral holiness. And the moment that we are positioned in holiness because of what Christ did on the cross, it begins our journey in behavioral holiness. And what that is all about is it means that that which is on the inside that's been happened to you, that which Jesus did because of the cross where he came in and he made you fully holy like him, it begins to be worked out into your outward part, that you actually think like that, speak like that, look like that, act like that. It's behavioral is what God is calling us to do, is to become holy like he is holy. And sometimes we have to say no to some things in order to say yes to holiness. So the goal is this, to be holy as God is holy, so you develop a behavior that actually matches the position you're in. But that's still, you got to remember something, that is still a work of grace. Becoming more like him all the time is a work of grace. How do I say that? Because grace is what empowers you to actually live holy. You can't be holy unless he actually empowers you. So he has given you grace to empower you to actually make the choices you need to make to actually live holy. He's so good. He's so good. Let me share a few passages about holiness. You see, I was pretty shocked when you start looking through the scripture how much it talks about holiness. I know there's holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. You know those scriptures, you know? But it actually speaks about holiness. So I want you to look at 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, it starts in verse 14. It says, so you must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back into your old ways of living just to satisfy your own desires. You didn't know any better then. And then in verse 15, it says this, but now, church, now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. For the scriptures say, you must be holy, for I am holy. He's talking about behavioral holiness. He's not talking about positional holiness. He's saying, hey, there's a shift that needs to come. You need to check where you're at, and you need to shift the outward to match what God did on the inside. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, it starts, therefore, having these promises, and just so you don't have to go back and read the whole chapter to know what the promises are, this is the promise. I will be your God and you will be my people. That's what he's saying just before he says this, okay? That's the promise. And he says, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And the last one I want to share with you is the one I want to center on. And it's found in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. And it says this, pursue holiness. Could you say that? Pursue holiness. And then it says something fascinating. It says, without which no one will see God. So that word pursue, you all know, like somebody pursuing you, what that means. That word in the Greek actually means to go after, to apprehend, to actually grab hold of it, to actually catch it, to get it. And he's saying that we're supposed to pursue holiness with which no one will see, without which no one will see God. So there's something called that you have to do something. And if you're going to pursue something, you have to actually do something, right? How many can catch something they never pursue? Are you alive this morning? There has to be decision you make. You have to decide that you're going to do something. But I have good news for you. It isn't like a New Year's resolution. It isn't like that. We're about three and a half weeks into the new year. How are you doing on your resolutions? Oh, I see that. Not so good, huh? It isn't. We're not talking about that. The good news that I'm talking about is the kind of decision that, because many of us don't do well with those kind of decisions, we have to understand that that grace is available continuously, that will empower you to actually live holy. Did you know that every time you encounter the holiness of God, it transforms you? I want to give you a picture of that. I want you to think about Moses in the wilderness. He's a shepherd and he's got his sheep and he's out on the mountainside. And he looks and he sees a bush is burning. But it's not being burned up. And so he decides that he needs to turn aside to see what this thing is, what's going on. So he goes towards this bush that is burning but it's not being burned up. And in Exodus 3, verse 4, it says, when the Lord saw Moses coming to take a closer look, and God called him in the middle of the bush, and he says, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. And he says, do not come any closer, the Lord warned. Take your off your sandals, for you're standing on holy ground. He said that. So do you think the dirt on that mountainside was holy? No, it came in contact with the holy God, and it became holy. And it's a picture for us that when we come in contact with the holy God, we become holy. His presence actually transforms us. I want to show more of that to you. I want you to understand something, because it's critical when we're talking about wanting to move into a healing center, and we want to bring people to the place where they can be transformed in their mind, in their bodies, in their spirit. All of those things, it comes from actually encountering him, coming into his presence, actually encountering the holiness of God. That's what happens. Things are transformed. A.W. Tozer said, holiness has nothing to do with what we know and everything to do with who we know. It really does. How well do you know him? Really? See, the closer we get, this is what happens. The closer I get to him, the more I see what I'm really like. His presence actually reveals the real me. And then I see, oh, this is what you want from me, oh God. This is how you want me to be. Can you see that? It's so transformational when we meet his holiness. Become holy when we meet his holiness. And it's not, that's not accomplished by rules and regulations. It's actually accomplished with encounters with him. If you have things you're struggling with, church, if you are struggling with behaviors and attitudes and actions that you don't want to have, get closer to him. Because in meeting him, there's something that transpires. There's something that happens when his holiness touches you. It's transformational. It shifts how you think. It shifts what you see. It shifts how you think of yourself. It's a beautiful thing. In Isaiah chapter 6, we see Isaiah was taken up and he's before the Lord and he sees, he's high and lifted up and he sees Jesus sitting on the throne and he sees these angels with six wings all around him and they're saying, holy, holy, holy. He's seen that all. And as he comes closer and he sees it, this is what he does. He says in verse number 5 of Isaiah 6, he said, it's all over. I'm doomed, for I'm a sinful man. I have filthy lips. I live among a people with filthy lips. Yet I have seen the King, the Lord of heaven's army. So his first response is he saw himself as he really was. He sees that. And then what happens is an angel takes a coal and takes it and brings it and touches his lips. And something happens when that holiness touches him. Because God's speaking. And he's not speaking necessarily to Isaiah. He's speaking and he said, who am I going to send? Who's out there? Who am I going to send? And that transformation was so beautiful that he went from, I'm undone, I'm a filthy man, to, hey, here I am, I'll go. Here I am. It changed him. It changed his perspective. It changed what he saw. So when you read the stories of Jesus in the New Testament, what happened to people when they encounter Jesus? Just think of one story about Jesus in the Gospels. What happened to the people when they encountered Jesus? They were changed. They were changed. They encountered, and do you think Jesus was holy? Absolutely. He loved holiness. He lived holiness. He walked out holiness. And people encountered him, and they were changed. So I want to give you a picture from the New Testament of holiness. And it's found in Luke chapter 19. And I'm going to share it verse by verse with you because I've never seen this story this way, but it is absolutely beautiful. It's a story about holiness. And it's the story of Zacchaeus. Anybody ever thought of that as the story of holiness? Okay, so it says that Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through town. So he comes into a town, and this town was, Herod the Great had built lots of things in there. It was actually the center of where traffic went from one direction to the other through it. So there was a lot of commerce that went through Jericho. A lot of business happened in Jericho. And it says he made his way through town. And then it stops and pauses and it says, there's a man named Zacchaeus. I want you to know something. He's only found in this passage. He's nowhere else in the Bible. He's not found. And it says he was a chief tax collector. A chief tax collector. That's the only place this is found, that phrase, chief tax collector. And it was because of all the commerce and because of all the building that Herod was doing. So they were taxing the people all the time. A lot of taxing. And Zacchaeus had become very rich. You need to understand something. Zacchaeus was a Jew. He wasn't a Roman. He was a Jew, and he was taxing the Jewish people. He wasn't popular. And then it says in verse 3, he had heard Jesus was coming, and he wanted to get a good look at him. And then we learn something new about him, that he's a small man. And he can't see over the crowds. And he really wants to see Jesus. He's heard about him, but he wants to encounter him. He actually wants to see him with his own eyes. And so he decided, in verse 4 it says, he went ahead, and it says he climbed up in a sycamore tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass by. Those trees had lots of big branches, not real high, that would have supported his weight easily. And he's climbed up there, and he's waiting because he knows from that perspective that he's going to be able to see him. So in verse 5 it says, when Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and he called him by name. They had never met. And Jesus knew two things about Zacchaeus. He knew his name, just like he knows your name. And he knew where he was, because he was up in the tree. When we're headed out down the road, we're not looking up. So he stops. And he says, quick, come down. I must be a guest in your house today. And it says in verse 6 that Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. But there's always the troublemakers. The scribes and the Pharisees, who to them holiness was rules and regulations. And you would not touch or come near a person like Zacchaeus, because that would get you unclean. And so they cry out and they say, he has gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner. But it's a fascinating thing that this man who wanted to see Jesus, who climbed up in the tree and sat on the branches waiting to see him, actually sees him, comes close enough, comes down from the tree, and there's something that happens. Holiness whams into him, and there's a transformation that happens, and he begins to see himself how he actually is. One that cheated all of his friends of their money. And look what happens. He said, he stood before the Lord in verse 8, and he says, I will give half of my wealth to the poor, Lord. Half of it. And if I've cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much. If you look in the King James, it actually says the give of his property, his personal possessions. He would give that up. He would give it. There's something that happened to this man from up in the tree till he comes down and he encounters Jesus. And all of a sudden he saw himself in the light of Jesus' eyes, and he wanted something different. And he said, this is what I'm going to do. And God speaks over him and he says, today salvation has come to your house. And there is hope for all of us, because when we come into the very presence of God, there's something that happens in us. There's this... this beautiful exchange that happens. We see ourselves to how we really are, and then he takes it. And we become somebody else, somebody different, somebody able to be used in a more powerful way. And God is wanting to use you and I. And he's wanting us to be so into God, so into his presence, that all those things that hinder us from actually moving with God, being with God, would be done away with. There's something in his presence that alleviates the sin in our life and makes us not want it anymore. And it comes through his holiness actually encountering us personally. I read this beautiful verse. I said, Mike, you got to hear this verse. I read it, and I'm just going to read the back half of it out of Hosea 6:6. It says this. I want you to show love, not sacrifices. And then he says this. I want you to know me more than I want burnt offerings. See, they used to bring burnt offerings to satisfy the sin that was in their life. They used to come and bring animals and all of that. They would bring burnt offerings. And he says, I want to know you more than I want you to do something for me. More than I want you to give your offerings to me. I want to know you. God wants to know you. And in knowing him and encountering him, it shifts who you are. It actually changes us. It actually changes us. So I want to go back to where I started. Holiness is the next step in our healing center. And I truly believe that in his most holy presence is where we need to be. Because in his holy presence is where transformation happens. And we see ourselves as we truly are. Sometimes we try to fool people on who we really are on the inside. We have I show who I want to show. And then when I'm in private, I can be anything I want to be. And God is wanting the everyday, the at home. He's wanting a transformation in how you think and how you live and how you move. And he wants to set you free. He wants his people to be free. In his presence is where people get freedom. I really believe in his presence is where healings happen. That there's been so many times personally that when I sit before him and he comes and he speaks to me, it changes things in me. It actually delivers me from my fears. It actually sets me on the right course. It actually, oh man, I'm really like that. I'm sorry, God. He points out things, and that's what he's wanting to do. See, it's time to let go of sins that hold us captive. It's time to hate what God hates, and he hates sin. It's actually time for us to walk in full holiness. What does that look like? That you actually reflect the very image of Jesus, that everybody that you encounter is affected by you. Everybody. Because they see him in you. It says that we're being changed from glory to glory, that we reflect him like a mirror. We reflect him. And that's what he's wanting us to be, that we would come to the place where we look like him, and then we bring others into his presence, and they find freedom and healing and deliverance and all of that. Go back to Hebrews 12:14, that verse that says, pursue holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. See, as long as we hold on to our stuff, it distances us from him. And he wants all of our heart. He wants all of us, church. He wants us to say yes to him and no to all the other stuff. We need to be like Isaiah and say, we're undone. We're undone by who you are. Will you come in? Will you touch my lips? Will you transform me? Because I want to be holy as he is holy. Would you stand with me? The
think it's interesting that Moses had an encounter with the Lord and he said this. He said to God, if you don't personally go with us, don't make us leave this place. For your presence among us sets your people and me apart from all other people on the earth. He said, if you don't aren't with me, then I don't want to go. And that's what we need, is to be so prepared in our heart that we are with him always, moving in him. And he's moving in us, because that's what he wants to do. And if that's your heart this morning, if you're hungry for that, I want to pray over your lips like what was prayed over when Isaiah felt like he saw himself. So just put your hands on your lips and Lord, I just ask. Lord, would you purify us this day? Would your very presence here today, the very moving of your Spirit, shift how we see ourselves, shift how we think about ourselves, shift how we, what we desire and what we long after, God. Would you fill us with your Holy Spirit and make us holy and pure like you? Would you transform us, Lord, with that which you already did, and move it to all of our actions and all of our ways. God, unless you do it, we'll fail. But your grace is sufficient for us today. And I thank you that you've called us to this. You've called us to move into holiness. You've called us to shift gears and change how we think and feel and move towards you in passionate ways. So I thank you for empowering us this day. God, for those in this room that have been dealing with addictions of any kind, I ask that right now, by the power of God, that the presence of God would just break off everything that they're battling, each addiction they're battling, and that they would be free in the name of Jesus. Jesus, you said, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. We want freedom, Lord. I ask you, Lord, for those that are standing this morning and they have fears that envelop their life, that you would come in and transform that, that they would see how you are, and that they would be set free from fears. God, I ask that your healing presence would descend upon us. There's many of us that have ear problems, eye problems, lung problems, heart problems, sicknesses, diseases. God, and we're asking that your healing presence transform that. Just like blind Bartimaeus, and you touched his eyes and they were changed and shifted because he came in contact with you. Come in contact with us this day and bring your resurrection power. We long after you, Lord. God. Lord, I say yes to where you want to go. I say yes to holiness. I say no to sin. I choose you, Lord. I choose you over me. I choose you today, Lord. I want you, Lord, more than anything. I don't want it to be words of a song. I want it to be truth in my heart that I actually want you. So I thank you, Lord, because it's only by your work. It has to be your work in us. It can't be us. It has to be your work in us. So we thank you and we praise you. As Mike comes to close the service, I want you to know that the altars are open this morning and there'll be people here that would love to pray for you. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Put your hand on your heart this morning. I'm thinking of a verse that the Lord brought to my mind as first shared in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. It says, I am crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. Christ lives in me. Lord, we take you at your word. Christ lives in me. Please allow him to shine out of me. Thank you, Jesus. So put your hand in your heart this morning and receive his blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord be gracious unto you. Lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Go in his grace.